Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forever. Amen. Let us quiet our hearts on this beautiful new day of grace in opening prayer and thanksgiving. Holy and righteous God, our beloved Heavenly Father, we approach you this morning with hearts of thanksgiving and prayer. Thankful for this beautiful new day of grace that you've granted unto us, where we awakened mindful of the many blessings and gifts that you've granted unto us as your children. You've gifted us with this life, and in this life you've also blessed us with abundance, given us everything that we need, our food and clothing, homes, families, loved ones, those that bring such joy and richness to this life. You have also gifted us with this country in which we live and the freedom to gather around your holy and precious word. You have gifted us with jobs, with all of those temporal needs have been cared for in such abundance. And into our families, you've given those loved ones who are special and dear to us that make our lives rich, but also remind us, dear Father, of the work and responsibility that we have in raising them and teaching them, and also journeying together as escorts one to another. This morning, dear Father, we are especially thankful for that gift of your dear Son, whom you sent into this sinful world to fulfill all righteousness, to take to the middle cross of Golgotha the sin debt of all mankind, shed his innocent blood, and died on our behalf. But yet, dear Father, your Son is not dead but living. He lives with us here in your kingdom upon earth. Travels, dwells, cares, comforts us. For this, dear Father, we are most thankful. As we gather this morning around your word, we pray for your service blessing, that you would give words to speak to your servant, hearing ears to those gathered, but for all of us, that you would give a believing heart. A believing heart that is a gift also that comes from you, dear Father. And we know, even today, how there are those who have given up the endeavor, tired on the journey, went the way of the prodigal child. And these we especially remember this morning. Grant them grace one day to return. We also remember loved ones not here with us, that you would be with them also, strengthen them in their begun faith. Dear Father, we pray now for your service blessing. We ask it all in Jesus' name. This morning, dear brothers and sisters, before reading a text, I with joy would bring you greetings from Sweden and Finland. 3 weeks ago, we returned home from our trip there where we traveled. We met with our brothers and sisters in Sweden, meetings, joint meetings. We also traveled to Finland, where we also visited there at the SRK office, and then traveled, the five of us, through different areas of Finland for mission services. And there again, we were reminded of the unity of God's kingdom. It felt secure there on our trip to be joined together in mutual love and unity of spirit. Returning home with this kind of knowledge and joy. That a weak one can continue to travel in God's kingdom as one of his own. Many, many loving greetings from there. Today is the day, Sunday before Pentecost, the Sunday after Ascension Thursday. And I will read for our study this morning from the end of the 15th chapter of St. John, the Gospel text for today, through the 4th verse of the 16th chapter. The words are as follows in Jesus' name. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. These things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father, nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. Amen. These chapters in the Bible, chapters 14, 15, 16, and 17, they are words of Jesus that he spoke to his disciples after they had enjoyed the Last Supper, and they are referred to as Jesus' farewell sermon and high priestly prayer. Jesus knew that which his disciples would face. He also, brothers and sisters, know what we will face. And Jesus prepared all things for his own. And he reminded them in that farewell sermon of that which was waiting for them at the end of the journey. He spoke of heaven, and he spoke of how in heaven he would go there and prepare a place for his own. you, brother and sister, with me. Jesus today prepares a home in heaven. In the recent weeks and months, how many brothers, sisters in faith have been called home? These experiences of life and death remind us that here we have no continuing city, but we seek one that is to come. And so in his farewell sermon, Jesus wanted to remind his own that they would look forward to that home that waits in the glory of heaven. Brothers and sisters, young and old, our lives here on this earth are but short. The psalmist says that they are as a breadth or the width of a hand. It says in scriptures that our life is like a vapor. And you know what vapor is like. You see it but for a moment, and then it disappears. Peter writes of how our lives, we are like the grass of the field that grows in its time, but then withers and dies. When this life ends, and the believer's life ends, the fruit of this faith is taken to the glory of heaven. And this is that which awaits for us. However, brothers and sisters, we are so carnal. We don't know beyond this life. We only see with our own eyes and our own minds that which is immediately before us. Today we see here and now. We can't see as God does, as if around a corner. But God knows all of those things that are before us. Jesus also knew these things. He knew why he was sent by God. He came for the sake of sinful man, so that they would be able to believe upon him whom God had sent. Jesus needed to prepare his own for that time that he would depart from them. And so in our text it speaks of this preparation, and also that how Jesus would care for his own. Our text began in this way, that, "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth of the Father, he shall testify of me." Next week we will remember the time of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came in a physical form. But here Jesus is again reminding and telling of that which is to come. How would those disciples know what was to come? How do we know what is to come? It is only that by faith it gives us some glimmer or some glimpse of that which waits for us. Faith allows us to see a long way off. Faith carries us to the glory of heaven. But when it speaks of this Comforter is the Holy Spirit. And this Comforter, this Holy Spirit, would teach them in all things. Why was this going to be necessary? And what is this Holy Spirit? There have been many, many people in the world who have strived to figure out, to read, to study about the Trinity. The Trinity, as God's kingdom teaches, is three in one and one in three. God is three persons. God is the Father, God is the Son, and God is also the Holy Spirit. And in our text it says that this Spirit of truth proceedeth from the Father. It comes from the Father, or it is the Father. It does not come out of Him, but rather is Him. If the Holy Spirit came out of the Father, that would mean the Father was less when the Spirit was taken away. That's not the case. God the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit are one. They are co-equal, but each have distinct differences. We speak and teach in Christian doctrine how God the Father was the Creator. We look around us now in this late spring day, the beauty again of spring. It reminds us every day, especially for those of us that live in this kind of a climate where winter comes and plants and vegetation die away. Only thing that's left to the trees is this standing trunk and branches. Spring of the year. The life comes back to those trees, and we are reminded again of God's power and His majesty in creation. In our congregation, we have seen many little ones born. God's blessings to you, parents, to whom God has given them. They are God's blessings. Nothing less but God's blessings. Especially you young parents who, it seems, I'm sure, day after day and week after week, you toil for the care of these little ones. You wonder, you worry, and you doubt that will God protect them, will God care for them, and will God give me strength? This is God's creation work. It's according to His plan and His goodness. God has created you and me according to His holy and righteous will. He's created us for eternity. He wants us one day to gather there around the throne of saints, singing praises of exaltation and glory and praise to Him who gave us life. May you, dear parents, be given strength and wisdom, courage, understanding, and love to raise those little ones to whom God has sent. This is God's creation work. But also, Lord Jesus was sent by God. He knew of the sinfulness of mankind. He knew that a Savior would need to be born and given. We marvel when we study of the work of Christ. We marvel of the miracles, the teaching, how perfectly He taught His own, what kind of a loving teacher He was. He called sinners unto repentance. He taught His own. He carried them, fed them, clothed them, just as He's promised to do for us. But most of all, the love that He had for His own held him on that middle cross of Golgotha. It held him there so that he shed his last drop of blood on our behalf. It's a marvel. It's a mystery. God's great love for us in that he sent his Son. His Son, whom John says was the Word. How the Word was made manifest and dwelt among us. This Comforter of which our text speaks is the Holy Spirit. That is also God. We can see the work of creation. We can read from that which Christ has done. But the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is a spirit. It's not something that we can see with our eyes, touch with our hands. But the Spirit is that which testifies in our heart that God dwells with us and that God dwells in the hearts of His children. This Spirit has power. It is God's power. You remember how powerful it was. The disciples were gathered behind locked doors after the crucifixion of Christ. They were fearful for their lives. And even after the resurrection, the disciples must have been quite amazed and fearful, thoughtful of all of those things that had transpired. In the Bible, it doesn't tell us so much of those 40 days that Jesus spent with his own after his resurrection. But it does say in scriptures that in those 40 days that he, after his resurrection, before his ascension to heaven, he spent them with his own. I've thought of those 40 days, what it must have been for the disciples. I remember myself personally after losing my daughter. She was 2 months old. She passed away through the night. Many, many times over the course of my life, I have ached to hold her, to hug her, to say one more farewell or goodbye. Those of you who have lost loved ones, I'm sure have experienced exactly the same. Whether it's a child, even as we've recently heard of this young 4-year-old boy that was taken to his home in heaven. Or we've heard of those aged ones who have left loved ones behind. Their loved ones have said, if they could have just one more moment with them. This is the will of God, on the other hand, that He allows us to suffer pain and loss. It keeps us mindful also and have those kinds of anchors there in heaven that wait for us. But those disciples were given that very fortunate experience for those 40 days to be with their Lord and Savior. What would He have taught them? What would He have spoken to them during those days together? I'm sure, as it would be for those of you who have suffered the loss of a loved one, or those who lived traveled beside those who have struggled through health-related issues. You have spoken much of God's blessings, of God's gifts, of God's protection, and God's promises, of how God's promises are sure. And this is that which I'm sure Jesus spoke with his disciples. But then when it was at a point in time when Jesus ascended, perhaps these words then started to come back even more closely. And for sure at the time of Pentecost, this word and words of the Comforter would have been important and necessary to remember. But when the Comforter has come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. Today in God's kingdom, that same testimony resounds of Lord Jesus. When those disciples were behind locked doors, Jesus appeared to them. And you remember how he told them, "Peace be unto you." And then he told them, "As my Father has sent me, so send I you." He breathed on them. And at that moment then, that Holy Spirit came upon them. And that Holy Spirit was for this express purpose, that whosoever sins you forgive, they are forgiven, and whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. This Comforter, this is the source of all joy, of happiness, of peace, this core message of the gospel. Jesus knew his loved ones, his disciples, you and I, would need that assurance of the gospel. And that gospel that is preached through the power of the Holy Spirit comforts the child of God until this day. And Jesus says, "And you shall also bear witness of me because you have been with me from the beginning." Peter writes of this in his epistle when he writes that general epistle to the believers scattered throughout Asia. He said to preach the word of God, to teach, he also encouraged them. Those elders there in that, those churches of Asia Minor. In that very first epistle, in the first chapter, he says, "Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace be unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." And then he said, "Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations." Jesus' prophecy was true, was clear. And then in the fifth chapter of that same epistle, he says that the elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. So Peter was one of them of whom here Jesus was writing. And ye also shall bear witness of me. The disciples' responsibility was to bear witness, to preach, to teach. And it remains to this day, dear brothers and sisters, that this is also the responsibility of each of you and myself. God has called us into this kingdom. It's a great blessing for us personally. But it is also for us to testify, confess that faith that is in us. Peter, in another place, says that, be ready to give every man an answer of that hope that is in you. The child of God is a child of hope. We have the hope of heaven. Heaven waits for us. We speak well of heaven. We speak well of God. We speak with joy of His kingdom and the Lord Jesus Christ. It is through the mouths of God's children that His will is revealed. The Holy Spirit gives strength and power to reveal God's will. Those are things that we cannot see or touch or feel. They're not intangible. They're not like this tree or this grass that is out there that is God's creation. It is not like Jesus who walked in the flesh, was manifest among men. But the Spirit gives power to the Word. You remember how the Ethiopian eunuch was traveling from Jerusalem home. And he was there dumbfounded or unable to comprehend the Scriptures. And he was sitting in the chariot reading. And the Spirit again encouraged Philip to go to this chariot. And when Philip approached the Ethiopian eunuch, he asked them, that what are you reading? And do you understand what you're reading? And this Ethiopian eunuch said that, how can I, except some man reveal it to me? Then Philip began to preach. The power of the Holy Spirit was upon him. And he preached and sowed the Word of God in the heart of the Ethiopian eunuch. When that Ethiopian eunuch believed, you remember how he asked that, what hinders me to be baptized? And then, if you believe. So there he was baptized. And then also it says that Philip left and the Ethiopian eunuch never saw him again. The Spirit is that which is a still, small voice, of which we heard so preciously in recent weeks and months. Remember the prophet Elijah, who had grown tired in the work, and he needed to be taught how God's work and the word of God's kingdom goes forward. It wasn't in the wind or the fire or the storms, but it was in a still, small voice. And that still, small voice is preached from the simple, the childlike, the little one in God's kingdom. This is the nature even of God's kingdom. Not many wise, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the weak things of this world to confound the mighty, and so on. Brothers and sisters, this is that which Jesus spoke to His own, this Comforter. This Comforter, this Holy Spirit, resides today yet in God's kingdom. You hear the voice of the Good Shepherd. You hear the calling voice of the Good Shepherd. And that calls, it gathers, it enlightens, it sanctifies the whole Christian church here upon earth. I have thought many times that the Holy Spirit is like a mirror. When I look in a mirror, it reflects that which image I am. When I hear the Holy Spirit, it reflects and testifies and mirrors what's in my heart. There's not a question when I hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. This is God's gift. It's not given, it's not taken by man, but it is God's gift for His children. The Spirit testifies that we are of God. The Spirit testifies that you, dear brother and sister, are on your way to the glory of heaven. The Holy Spirit is this simple, small, quiet, still voice in God's kingdom. If you can hear it, it is a blessing and a gift from God. Cherish it, because it's not given to every person. It's not given to every man. It's given to those of whom God has called and has chosen. Who of you today have first loved God? The Bible says that we love God because He first loved us and sent His Son for us. We believe because God has given us strength to believe. It is not of our own strength or our own doing. Brothers and sisters, today, uplift your heart to believe. Sins, doubts, shortcomings forgiven in the name and precious atoning blood of Jesus. This simple message, this simple gospel, will carry you one day to the glory of heaven. Nothing more, nothing less, but to simply believe and to endeavor, as those saints who have gone before us have endeavored, as those disciples endeavored, believing upon Him of whom God had sent. Today we have this meal of remembrance set before us, this meal of communion. Jesus instituted that communion for His weak ones, for His own, for His loved ones. He wanted them to eat and drink of His body and blood, to be strengthened in their weak faith. He knew that which they were going to face. He knows what we are also facing. Come, as you are today, with a believing heart, to this table of remembrance. Remember that which Jesus has fulfilled on our behalf. He is made ready and is making ready our home in the glory of heaven. He made it ready through His shed blood on the middle cross of Golgotha. Come believing even now, latest doubts, sins forgiven, Jesus' name, precious atoning blood. Brothers and sisters, today I come before you very weak and tempted, feeling my own shortcomings and doubts. Can I still believe my many sins forgiven? I want to believe with each of you. In Jesus' name, amen.